So we are, every Sunday when we come together as a church, we open up the Bible and see what the Bible has to say to us. And we're going to spend the next 5 weeks talking about the same topic. And it's the topic of relationships. We're going to be talking about relationships. And we're doing it in this teaching series that we're calling Love, War, and Peace. And any relationship that you've been in, I would imagine, has at some point felt like love, war, or peace. Brad agrees. That was for the love bit, right, Brad? Okay, just checking. But I definitely learned this growing up because my parents were pastors. And so they would have often a lot of people over at their dinner table for pre-marriage counseling or marriage counseling. They would talk a lot about marriages with people. That's all I knew whilst I was sat in the other room. And we could tell whether this was a love season, a war season, or a peace season, depending on how loudly me and my sisters had to put the TV remote. If it was a love season, there's a nice bit of laughter going on. Everyone seems happy. It's fine. Peace. Everyone's just, they leave at the end of the dinner. Everyone's having hugs. It's great. And then the war season, me and my sisters just look to each other. Let's turn the TV up. Because it sounds like people are shouting in there. And I think for most of us, we will have, on some level, experienced some conflict, some love, some peace. I know for Meg and I, we've now been together for 14 years, married for 11 and a half years. And one of the things that we have had to navigate is the different seasons of life when it comes to being in relationship. And so what I want to do is, over these next 5 weeks, we're going to cover two main themes. Because we're going to talk next week, for example, we're going to talk about marriage in particular and talk about conflict. We're going to be talking about singleness and how we navigate singleness, and we'll talk dating and different things through this series. But the two main themes that's going to cover it all that we're going to look at over the next 5 weeks is overcoming loneliness and thriving relationally. We're going to talk about overcoming loneliness and thriving relationally. So many of the conversations I have with people in our city are talking about, how do I navigate a sense of feeling lonely? I even know people in relationships who feel lonely today. And so how do we navigate this sense of loneliness? Often people will say, if they've just moved to Cape Town, man, I'm feeling lonely. I was talking to someone recently who said their friend had moved to Cape Town, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, and had still not made a friend in Cape Town. So there's something of, how are we going to overcome loneliness? But this second one, I want us to talk about today. And it's this question: how do we thrive relationally? How do we thrive relationally? We are all in relationships with someone, whether it's friends, whether it's in marriages, whether it's dating, whatever that season looks like for you. And I want us to look at, how do we thrive in that season? Because my belief is this: the Church of Jesus should be the place where we thrive relationally the most. This is the place. If we have experienced the life-transforming power of Jesus, if we've discovered something of who he is, that we should have the relationships that people look to and are inspired by, and they say, how is it that you have that relationship? Whatever you have, I want some of that. And we turn to them and say, Jesus. The truth at times in the church can be opposite. I've been in church long enough to know and see relational fractures and breakdowns and church politics and people getting weird, to know that that's not always the story. And so in this series, here's why we're doing this series: because we are going to be a church that thrives relationally, that is healthy in its relationships, friendships, marriages, dating relationships. That's what we're believing for, and that's the journey we're going to go on. And to start us out, I'm going to a story in the Bible that maybe isn't your typical story that you're going to start a relationship series with, but here we go. I hope you're ready to jump in with us this morning. We're going to turn to a place in 1 Samuel chapter 14, and this is a story of two characters, Jonathan and the armor bearer. And what's happened in this story is that the Israelites have, at this point, been under attack by a group called the Philistines. And there's basically no weapons left. There's like a couple of swords left in Israel. It's a pretty sorry state at this point. And Jonathan is the son of the king, King Saul. Saul is sat under this tree with 600 of his men. And Jonathan turns to his armor bearer, the guy carrying his armor. And this is how the conversation goes. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And then verse 6 and 7, it carries on. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead, I'm with you, heart and soul." Amazing story. I love this story. It's just this story of sacrifice and service and saying, it's not about me being at the center of the story. I want to serve someone else's dream and vision. So why am I talking about this in the context of our relationship series? I want to pitch something to you this morning, and you can push back at me afterwards. You can email luke@freedomcapetown. No, I'm joking. Here's my pitch to you, I think, for many of us when it comes to relationships. It's this, that in relationships, most of us want to be Jonathan. Or I think I'll put it even more starkly here. In relationships, we all want to be Jonathan to a certain degree. What do I mean by that? I was saying in the first service, sometimes I go on social media, I'm scrolling through, and people talk about this idea of like main character energy. It's like people are wanting to put themselves basically at the center of every story. I don't know if you've ever done this, where you're talking to a friend, and you start opening up about how a tough thing in your life, and they totally trample over you like, "Oh my gosh, the same thing happened to me, and it was so much worse than yours." Okay, thanks. Great. I was just trying to, you know, open up here. Yep. But so many of us, at times, we look at the lens through my needs, my desires, my ambitions, what I hope for. And that's not in itself a bad thing, but if that is the primary motivation of how you approach relationships, it can actually be quite damaging. I've actually sat in times with couples where I've got two Jonathans sat in front of me. Both people at the same time wanting and thinking that their preference and their desires are the most important thing in any given moment. And you know what you see? A train smash. Because you've got two people who are unwilling to serve one another. Equally toxic, I think, is if there's only ever one person who's the armor bearer and the other person is always Jonathan. If you're only ever in that place where I always have to be the one and I never get an opportunity to advance an area of my life, that's not great. What is amazing in relationships is when you see two people ready to be each other's armor bearer, to pull out and call out the potential in one another, to speak life over one another, to encourage one another, to serve one another. Just in a practical way, what might this look like? This might look like certain at times in mine and Meg's life, one of us has had a particular vision maybe to get healthy and to start more exercise. But when you've got two children, I have learned something, church. You don't have a lot of time. That's the top tip that I'm coming away with. And Luke is looking at me with three children. He's like, "Brother, you don't know." So one of us has to take the lead in a certain season, and the other has to be an armor bearer. Then we swap in another time, and then the other person is going to serve the other person. But if we both aspire to be people of service, it is a healthy way to thrive in a relationship. I want to encourage you just to think about the relationships you have today. The friendships, the romantic relationships that you have. Do you find yourself always trying to put yourself first, or can you put the other person first? Because that is the pathway to a thriving relationship. When two people pursue serving one another. I love this verse in, or let me throw up my main kind of thought and then I'm going to go to a verse. But my main thought that I want to give you for our time together today is this. To relationally thrive, we will spend our lives joyfully serving one another. That's how you're going to see your relationships thriving. And just hear what I said there. Joyfully serving. This is not about begrudgingly, I guess I will, sure if I have to. No, this is saying, I'm going to joyfully choose to serve the person I'm dating, my spouse, my friend, whoever it is, because I know that in doing so, and if the other person chooses the same posture, we're going to have a healthy relationship. Ephesians 5 verse 21 says it this way, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This idea, another translation talks about the idea of mutual submission. That in our relationships, we choose to lay down our preference and pick up theirs. That's a powerful thing. When I can lay down my own desires and say, I'm going to choose to serve you. Why? Because of the reverence I have for Christ. I don't serve Meg to get something back. I serve Meg because in doing so, I get to serve Jesus. Do you see that? You with me this morning, church? That when we serve one another, we are in turn serving out of reverence for Christ. I want to encourage us to take this posture that says, I'm going to serve the other person. I want to aspire to be an armor bearer. Romans 12 verse 3 builds on this idea of how we should approach the mindset that we have to one another. We throw it up here. I can pull it up if we're missing it. Romans 12 verse 3. Let me pull it up on my phone. We got it. All right. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So the approach that we take in our relationships, am I viewing myself as the Jonathan in this story, or do I humble myself and say, I believe God's called me to serve and be the armor bearer? Too often we can have too high a view of ourselves. God is calling us to humble ourselves and serve one another. And so can I encourage us, church? We got to aspire to be the armor bearer. And in order to do that, I want to give you, we're going to build lots of different kind of ideas through this series about how we're going to serve one another and how we're going to thrive relationally. But I want to give you the foundational concept that I think if you can grasp this, it sets the course for everything else. It helps to lay the groundwork for thriving relationally across the board. And it's one simple idea, and it's this. Walk in agreement. Walk in agreement. We get this idea of walking in agreement from one verse in the Old Testament, from Amos chapter 3, verse 3. And it says this, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so. So I just want to I want to show you what this looks like in practice. Brad and Press, do you want to come and join me on the stage today? We will welcome them to the stage. You guys didn't know you were coming up today, did you? But you dressed great for it anyway. You dressed like you were coming ready. Okay. You guys know three-legged race, right? Okay. All right. Okay. You come stand in the middle here. Okay. And Precious got a heel as well, so I think she's going to win. All right, you guys can. So here's what many of us do in relationships. Many of us find ourselves getting into a relationship. We like the other person. They're great. Maybe it's a romantic relationship. Perhaps even marriage. And we're like, man, we are tied together. We're in this together. Or maybe it's just a friendship. We're connected together. And we're like, okay, great. We're in this together. We love each other. Love. It's great. Love season. And then, what I've seen so often is that people have forgot to clarify where they're going. What do I mean by that? Sometimes, there's some of us, and maybe even in the room today, you'd call yourself a Christian, you're a Jesus follower, and so you're going this way, and you're thinking about dating someone who doesn't believe in Jesus. And so they'd be going this way, and the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they've agreed to do so? Let's just build on that. Can I make us uncomfortable this morning in church? Victor, yes, okay, I've got his permission. Is it Victor's fault if you... Some of us, we started dating, and the Bible says that we need to prioritize purity. And so one of you has a vision to stay pure and holy, and the other person is not on board with that, and you're thinking about sex outside of marriage, and one of you is going this way, but the other is going that way. Some of you got married, and you forgot to check with each other if you both wanted children. And one of us is... And you get married, you're like, hold on a minute. I had five children in my mind, so I don't want any. And it's very difficult to walk together. Maybe it's how you spend your time as a married couple. We've got this chunk of time, and the one of you is thinking, we're just gonna cuddle all afternoon. The other's like, we are climbing Table Mountain every day. You know, it's like, so how do you walk together unless you've agreed to do so? So, Presh, I need you to make your way over to that balloon. Brad, I need you to make your way to this side of the stage. So, okay, so here's what happens. Either this is going to snap, something's going to break in the relationship, or... And sometimes this is as toxic, if not worse. Someone's going to get dragged against their will to go somewhere they never planned to go. I think a lot of us have experienced that in relationships. You ended up somewhere you didn't expect to be because you didn't clarify, you didn't get agreement at the start. Can I encourage us? And here's the other big piece of this I just want us to see. You can't be an armor bearer to someone if you're going in a different direction. You can only be Jonathan. You can only go this way, and you spend your time in conflict against each other instead of fighting for each other. In relationships, we've got to fight for each other. But we can spend our time... And you guys, some of you, you're thinking now, it's like, oh, that makes sense why I fought with my boyfriend all that time. Yeah, because you never agreed where you were going. You need to be on the same page about where God is leading you. That's why Jesus needs to be at the center of this relationship. Because otherwise, we're going to get start pulling in different directions, and something's going to break, or we're going to go in the wrong direction. So, thank you, team. You guys can get down. Can we thank Brad and Presh? Great stuff. We got to walk together. Reflect on areas in your life where you need to get aligned in your relationships. Maybe in your marriage, maybe in your friendships, maybe you're dating someone. Are you in agreement? Let's clarify that in our hearts. As I was praying about this message today, this time we had together, the thing that was, I started praying for us as a church family. I was thinking about maybe some of you guests who may be joining us for the first time this morning. I was thinking, and I know some of our church family stories. I know that as I talk about relationships, for some of us, this is actually a painful topic for me to be going towards. Because for some of us, our story is in some way defined by relational trauma. Maybe you've seen in your parents relational fractures. Maybe you've experienced divorce. Maybe you've experienced loneliness. And so actually to talk about this is challenging and painful. And as I was thinking about that, the thing that came to my mind was one of the big themes of the Bible is that God is a generational God. We see it throughout the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, all over the place. That the God does not look at the... We look at our lives in the confines of the years we have. But God looks at life differently. He talks about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know, right at the start of the New Testament, it's in Matthew, it's just this lineage of Jesus. It's like generations of generations. And some of us, when we look back at the generations past, we can see, well, my parents were that way, and my grandparents were that way, and my great-grandparents were that way. That's probably going to be my story. And I want to encourage us today, as we were coming towards this series, I felt a prompt in my spirit that God was wanting to shift generational stories through this series. For some of us, we've experienced and have viewed relationships through a certain lens because it's been painful, but the beautiful thing about the gospel is that we get to see generational blessing break out. I was thinking after our last service, Meg mentioned it at the end of our last service, but she's talked before about the work that God did in her and her family, and it was like there were certain dysfunctions before, but then the gospel broke out in her life. And we've talked, one of the main motivators for us planting the church here in the southern suburbs was the idea that our daughter Evelyn and our son Noah are going to have a different story because of the power of the gospel. Because when the gospel breaks out in your life and your story, and it sets you free and it heals you, then the generations after you are impacted as well. Some of you have experienced generational challenges up to now, dysfunction up to now, but God wants to see a generational blessing break out in your legacy, that those coming after you are going to experience something different. Why? Because you fought the battles now so that they don't have to. I know I stand on this stage today because my mom and my dad fought giants that I never have to fight. I get to walk into this land freely. I'm like, wow, that was easy. And they spent decades slaying giants that I didn't ever need to see them. I want to encourage some of you, that's going to be the story of your children. That you get to step into, they get to step into blessing because of the work that you did. And I want to read to you this amazing part of the Bible in Deuteronomy 28. It talks about some of the blessings of God. That if we live in obedience to Him, if we follow His way, some of the blessings that are coming our way. So we're not going to bring it on the screens. I want to create space for you to, whether you want to close your eyes or whether you just want to listen, however you want to do it. I want to read to you some of the blessing and the promise of God over us. From verse 1 to 14 in Deuteronomy 28, it says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to Him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land He swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. The Lord promises blessing to break out generation after generation if we follow his ways. And I believe there is a generational blessing on the relationships coming after you if you can learn to follow his ways, to walk in agreement with one another, to pursue being an armor bearer rather than putting your preferences first. I'm going to learn to put others first. I'm going to pray about how I need to address things in my heart so that I can serve others. So church, I want to finish this out. We're going to pray together to finish our time. And I want to pray for those of us who are believing for a different story. That what you've seen up to now, you're believing for the generations to come after you, there's going to be generational blessing on the relationships to come. So why don't you close your eyes with me? Let me pray for us as we head towards the end of our service. Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, that you, when the gospel arrives in our life, when your word speaks to us and ministers to us, it changes us. And Jesus, I pray today for generational blessing to break out. I pray even for healing where there needs to be healing from past pain and abuse and challenge in relationships. Lord, I pray that you would do a work of healing today. Jesus, I pray, would you stir a faith in people's hearts to believe for the blessing to come? So, Lord, I pray, blessing, relational blessing to break out. That we would be a church that thrives relationally, I pray.